It's not complicated. Call it creative. Call it art. Call it design. It's the Design Coach on Lake 96.1.
I have no idea where this show is going, although I have...
Well, do we ever?
No, I have no idea where it's going to go because I'm really excited to take this tack on this Sunday morning. And good morning, everyone. You're listening to the Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. Well, I am dressed... I don't even look like me. Do I look like me today? I don't think I do.
Is that corduroy?
No, it's just a black t-shirt with an artist overcoat and jeans and Birkenstocks. I feel like I'm dressed like Joshua Becker, the minimalist.
Oh.
Like,
you know, you
like
do
I
know
should
that.
Just be walking around barefoot, holding a candle and reading books in the dark. Sorry.
Do you know that you? I think about that guy all the time and can't remember his name ever.
Joshua Becker, the minimalist.
Yes, you have programmed me. I remember such a minimal
really
amount of information about this guy that I can't remember his name.
I'm really hard on that guy.
You are hard on that guy, but it's hilarious.
Anyway, good morning, everybody. Ready to dive on in? So, if anybody knows anything about this show and you've been listening for any period of time, or if you are new to the program, one of the things that is probably a thread that is common no matter how far you go back over the 10 years we've been doing the show is increasingly, and Nancy, I think you would agree with this statement, that we're finding ourselves becoming more of an educational platform for best practice in teaching people how to do things better. Okay, and our particular angle on this is interior design, building, remodeling, and now it's moved on to lifestyle. It is advanced to a point where we don't just want you to design better. We don't just want you to build better. We want you to live better. And that's really, if you look at any of our marketing, if you go on the website right now, that's probably what it says. It says that the minute you pull us up. And that really is the mission of the Design Coach. And so as we layer our media, whether it's our social media, our website, or any of the ways people interact with us, including this radio show, those three objectives are really always top of mind in everything that we do. And we talk on this show about the core our guiding principles behind that. We talk about our core values within that. And, you know, it being a comprehensive approach to what we do, a creative approach to what we do, and above all, maybe a concierge approach to what we do, where it's not just about what you deliver, but how you deliver it. And it's in that light that I want to really focus in if you are a builder or if you are a remodeler, if you are in that space, this is a show that's almost like a must listen. Because we're going to share some of the things that over 25 plus years in this industry, this remodeling, construction, new build, interior design, and now lifestyle, and retail even, right?
Right, right.
Into all facets of this creative delivery, which was really the point, was just to sort of connect with people in as many ways as possible. What you're going to learn is we're going to talk best practices and we're going to talk worst practices. We're going to share, and I'm going to share my perspective on this radio program today of where amazing partners on the build and remodeling side get it right. The things that they do that I think all builders and remodelers and contractors, for that matter, should strive to do. Because I believe that we're at a deficit in the industry. And there's a lot of reasons for this. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why we've litigated really good service out of it. We've also priced it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have, as a consumer, we have tried to get best service for the lowest price. And so therefore, something had to give. And I think we've hit a tipping point there where, you know, you've got people so afraid to be able to deliver what I believe is the combination of heart and head, that it's all now head, no heart.
Right, right.
Right. And a lot of it is sometimes self-serving, which I think is another thing that we'll touch on. But if you're a builder and you're a remodeler, this is a must listen to show today from the perspective of someone who on a national level is working with great build design partners and has also worked with some who just don't get it.
Right. You know,
and you get to determine where you are in that.
Right. You don't see this, I don't think, because you see your perspective and your in this particular field, but I would disagree with you when you say if you're a builder or in the in your field in any way whatsoever. I think that if you are a business owner in general,
sure.
I don't think that you, Philip, realize how many of the things that you say can be applied to businesses across the board. Not all of them, mm-hmm. because not all of them are as collaborative as yours
or is. Or as creative.
You know, and
some businesses and are, you know.
Just, right, their service, you're in and out or whatever. But it's, if it, there are probably 90% of what you, the things that you say can be applied in some way to developing relationships with your clients, developing relationships with your vendors, your manufacturers that you, and so.
That's nice of you to say.
No, I mean,
I'd like to think so.
I mean, this is not just about design. This is not about that collaboration. This is about running a business and growing a business. And the other thing I want to say is that this, you are the prime example of something that actually my accountant has said to me over and over again. There are people that own their businesses that expect their businesses to do everything for them. And then there are people that own businesses that do everything for their business. And the, those people are the ones that grow.
100% agree.
And
cannot agree more with that.
There are so many things that you have said in the past and continue to say and elaborate on that fit that quote perfectly.
Listen, you're a CEO. You don't get to do less work.
Oh, God,
no. You just get to do the most important work, but it is not less work.
And don't you love it when people say, oh, if I, you know, if I own this business, if you own this business.
I know, but listen, the entrepreneurial myths that are out there is a completely different show.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? You're right. It's a completely different show.
You work way more.
You do, but you're also, your level of investment,
mm-hmm.
financially, emotionally, intellectually,
yep.
is at a heightened state.
Right.
The higher you ascend.
Absolutely.
Not less.
Right.
It's, you may be doing less, hopefully.
You're not doing less.
Hopefully you've built an apparatus.
Sure.
That handles some of the things, or if not most of the things that you used to handle, but you are still handling.
All of it.
Where the ship goes. Mm-hmm. Where it's being steered.
And if you're not actually handling it, you are thinking about it constantly.
Well, because you have to anticipate.
Absolutely.
All of those things. And it's not just your responsibility to anticipate it for yourself. It's your responsibility to anticipate it for your team members.
Right.
Who believe in you, who believe in what you're doing, who believe in delivery of service the way that you do, and your clients.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And mm-hmm. your vendors.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the immense responsibility of really taking it seriously is, I think, actually what we're going to talk about today as it relates to the building trade, because we're going to isolate it to just builders. But you're right. I don't think that is obviously limited to that industry.
No. If you own or run a business, you should be listening.
Listen, if you're a consumer and you're thinking about taking on a project right now, if you're
of
a customer,
course.
And you're the, like, I'm going to give you the blueprint to evaluate a builder in my critique of best practice.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what they do well. Here's what they're not doing well. Here's what they've done when they get in their own way. And more importantly, here's what they do when they get in a way of your vision.
Ah.
And that really is the crux of it. There is a lot of conversation that we need to have, especially as we move into this, about what that collaborative environment really looks like. And we've talked a lot about that, but I'm going to take a different angle. The angle in collaboration here is going to come from some virtues. And I think that that's a very interesting way to approach it, because I believe that it almost is going to come at this from a human and spiritual angle. The humility with which you have to approach collaboration, mm-hmm. which you and I have talked about on, gosh, what, last week, Joe, and the week prior. I mean, really, since we were in this environment, our humility is at an all-time low.
Oh, okay? For sure.
It's just at an all-time low.
For sure.
And that ability to come into a situation not knowing what you, knowing that there's a lot you probably don't know, and opening up to that
mm-hmm.
is the posture that actually is a huge impediment to the collaborative effort, especially in the beginning part of the project.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about this and we talk about what it takes to really be excellent in the building trade, and I want to say this before we go to break, I want to share this with everybody. I'm not coming at this from a perspective where I wasn't the contractor. If you don't know my background, I was not always the design coach.
Mm-hmm.
I was a contractor like other contractors. I still do that, and I am that in some capacity for a lot of our projects nationwide, where I am sort of like the owner's rep or the GC of the GC, if you will.
Right.
And that perspective has allowed me to see what I'm about to talk about today from the person in the field who actually has to lift the bricks and block, mm-hmm. who actually has to get up on the ladder, to the person who's coming up with the idea, right? And the vision.
Mm-hmm.
Now that perspective, you know, when I have said to you that I don't know a service offering that worries about how many brats are in your fridge and whether or not you're getting your insurance valuation
right.
on At your disaster.
Time. Right.
Find it. Find it. You won't find it.
Right.
You have found it.
Right.
On this show today, the perspective about best practices in building and remodeling and where contractors go right and where they go wrong. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Welcome back, everybody. Happy Sunday. You've been listening to The Design Coach, or are listening to The Design Coach, right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. Also find our archived episodes on the radio show station website, but also on Spotify. So I want you to dive in with me today. And again, I know that you're right, Nancy. I am absolutely gearing this show towards builders for a very specific reason. Because without them, and without them having the right stewardship mindset over the projects can either go horribly right or horribly wrong,
right,
and beautifully right, and probably throughout the course of even a single project a little bit of both.
Oh, sure.
Right.
Well, no, that's perfect.
Especially when you're doing big things are difficult. It's not always going to go according to plan, but your level of humility and collaboration within that space, honoring the vision of the client, has to be a unified vision and a tight relationship. And I want to start by saying, when we talk about this, the cornerstone of what it really takes to do this, you know, we've talked on any number of different occasions about like our core values, and we mentioned some in the last segment, but what I have found in the best builders and the best collaborative relationships that I have with contractors have approached it from an educational perspective and an honest perspective.
Mm. Good point.
I will tell you that the egos of some of the builders that I have worked with are absolutely absolutely an impediment to the process.
Sure.
And that is one of the things that as you grow and you complete really, really big projects, you can't get a big head. And I will say that I am very fortunate right now to work with some wonderful teams across the country who always approach my expression of the vision on behalf of the client with a tell me why, tell me where it fits, and let me help you figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Not here's why that won't work. Now, I'm good with why something won't work as long as there's a solution on the back end of that sentence. But I find all too often that what ends up happening in these environments is that the builder has a direction based on a price that they've pitched or a scope that they've pitched with such a flawed calculus and a lack of understanding of the equation on the part of the client that you've heard me talk on a number of different shows that if you're not packing the plan with the architect,
right,
you're putting your builder in a position to have to fill in the gaps. Part of their defensiveness in this process comes from the unknown. And that's natural.
Of course.
The level of insecurity that I find in some of the builders that I'm working with right now is that they're totally secure with the problem-solving activity. Like, in other words, they invite it. They embrace it. If you're not doing that and asking the designer or the architect enough questions about what is the design intent behind it and what are you trying to achieve, and those partners can't express it, you better have that conversation often and early. I will tell you that I think that the public has a, that the consumer has a huge problem here. Because what they're doing is they're running to the builder first.
Okay.
Without a good plan. And they're putting them on the defensive. And in a rush to try to sell the job, the builder's just throwing a number on there.
Right.
To try to secure the contract.
Right.
Knowing that they have confidence in the team to sort of, quote unquote, figure it out later. The amount of weak bids that I see or contracts that I see on the part of builders where it's just so ambiguous, and then in the contract, the client is having to change order themselves up right. on a regular basis, comes from bad planning. So the first thing I'm going to tell you is that if a builder is not looking at you and saying, I like what you have here, I see what you've drawn up, but there's not enough here for me to bid it. If they just bid it, not telling you that it's an incomplete number, they're not being your advocate.
Right.
They're just trying to sell you the job. The builders that I've seen that do it really well at the collaborative phase as what I call the cornerstone of collaboration, pick it apart. They get granular with their, I would say, their analysis mm-hmm. of the vision and the plan. The reason I know this is because over 25 years, we have had to come from it from the contractor's perspective, where when we're given a vision by a designer or a client, we've had to reverse engineer it into function and execution.
Right.
Which means I've been the one who's been on the other side of it that's had to ask the question, so what do I naturally appreciate when I'm presenting a vision?
Questions.
The builder who comes at it mm-hmm. with a lot of questions. Questions and communication. Tell me you care. You're really trying to understand what we're trying to do. But in the speed that homeowners and potential clients want in the how fast can you get it done, they have really done themselves a huge disservice and put builders on the defensive. Up front, I will say, the best builders with whom I've had the pleasure of working are the ones that are communicative on such a frequent level that they are letting you into the conversations with their contractors. They're not trying to gatekeep, like, please only give, you know, please only go through me for everything. And then I find out that they're understaffed. This is the other thing, too. You know, if you really want to do big things, you better hire people that have big teams. Or at least adequate sized teams, Nancy. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how fearful I am when somebody wants to hire a builder who doesn't have staff, and I know that that builder might be working on multiple projects. There is no way you're not missing out on creative opportunities because they just can't handle the volume of information coming their way. And I don't care if they work 24/7.
Right.
And I know that they don't. Big projects, big visions, and taking advantage of all of the creative opportunities that these visions provide takes alignment of more than one person to do it.
Right.
And it's the same. If you're asking me if I'm turning that lens to designers also, I am. I have to rely on my team to be able to help me execute multiple visions for multiple clients.
Right.
Now, those things can emanate from me, but I like having many hands make light work, many minds, many eyes. The key thing is aligning them. But you can't come into these environments with an ego.
Absolutely not.
I'm going to tell you right now, the number one thing that I see is the lack of humility on the part of the builder to come into the collaborative environment without really trying to understand the vision before they bid it. The rush to get the job. The rush to get the job. Now, you can break that down all the way to the contractor level. I will say to you, the incomplete bids, the ambiguous contracts, all of the things where they're not asking enough questions, the consumer is under the assumption, oh, this is just how it's done, So we're just going to figure it out along the way. It would be as if you were ordering a meal with not knowing exactly what ingredients were in the kitchen. And then it's like, oh, well, to do what you want, I need pepper. Oh, to do what you want, I need ginger root. Oh, to do what you want, I need all of these other things that I didn't account for.
That's your job.
And so therefore, the upfront, the real studying of the vision, the real conversations about what the client and what the designer are trying to achieve along with the architect, the ones who are packing the plan, because the builder doesn't pack the plan.
No.
Okay. The architect and the designer pack the plan along with the client. So our ability to do our homework upfront in that, I find, is truncated, short-sheeted, and we're not giving the client enough time to actually really think through the project on paper to really pack the plan so that you're getting a much better bid process on the back end. Because what ends up happening is if you have enough information in your plan, what you end up realizing is that the interpretation of the builder will be more consistent if you're evaluating multiple builders. Over the years, Nancy, I got to tell you, I have to say that this is one of the things that the lack of humility, and I don't mean humility can manifest itself in a number of different ways.
Of course.
But the first way that it manifests itself is help me understand what you're trying to achieve and walk me through the vision. Do you know that I have been so fortunate, especially this is what's been great nationally to work with national contractors, is that there are people out there really, really trying to dive into the why behind the build instead of the what. The why is so critical to the what. And in the coming segments, we're going to unpack that too, because when we make a design recommendation, it's always tied back to the why. Why do you want to do this big project? What are you hoping to achieve? What lifestyle outcome are you hoping is a result of this? And Nancy, I live it every day.
Of course.
We are building legacy projects where the intent in the beginning was, why are you doing this? I want my kids to visit me. I want my kids who are spread all over the country to be able to have a place they can call home for at least a period of a season. I want them to come back. I want to connect. Which ultimately, you know, is the reason I love to do what I do, which is to create environments that connect people. If the spaces are designed with that level of intent behind the why, the materials just become a style exploration. We're going to talk budget here over the next few segments about how the money plays into it, because that's another weird enemy, because that's structured incorrectly. But in this first introduction of the kind of this collaborative environment, that humility on getting behind the why and asking the questions that it really takes to understand the vision is where I believe is a huge, it's a huge differentiator between someone who's approaching your project from a transactional perspective or really trying to build for you the legacy that you think you want. More about that when we come back. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. I love when you tell me that. I love when you tell me I have a little bit of extra time.
Well,
not in totality. Not because I have a fifth segment, right, which you know I'm desperately laboring for every
right.
year.
But yeah, you. Okay. I mean, I can give you five segments. Your other four will be short. So I mean, you can have five segments. You still have an hour.
Anyway, welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host Philip Sassano. We're talking specifically about good relationships with builders. Best practices with builders, where it goes right and where it goes wrong. I mean, seriously, that's pretty much the gist of the show. And if you're a builder or a remodeler, it's a must listen, because I'm going to tell you, I'm sharing with you gateways to how you can serve the luxury market. If you're a builder who has great skill sets, but you are looking to elevate, this is what is appreciated in this space. And if you are currently a professional, who probably over a long period of time is doing it one way, I'm going to tell you that I believe that the more human element versus the transactional element, the why versus the speed, will be something that I think people are gravitating toward.
Well,
they're
for
gravitating
sure.
more towards meaning because everything has become disposable mm-hmm. and everything has become meaningless because of the amount of chatter that they're really looking for people of substance and people who will do right by them. Okay. And I can't think of anything more virtuous and more human, right, than wanting to shepherd someone's vision. I mean, let's just talk a little bit about this topic from, you know, just recapping the last segment briefly. The number one thing that I talked about in the last segment is don't push your own agenda as a builder. Don't push your own style of build. Right?
Right.
Don't disregard design intent. Like so many of the bad builders do.
Right.
Okay. Don't.
This is how I do it. I expect that. You to conform.
Mm-hmm. Because that building a home, and especially at the level that we do it, is such an important investment for the client, emotionally, psychologically, financially, that your attention to detail and your ask of the why needs to match their level of their investment on all levels.
Well,
and just because you've done a lot of big homes and just because you've done a lot of big projects does not mean it can be transactional.
Right. Well,
and the minute you treat it that way or your staff treats it that way, someone will come in and ask a better question. And you know why I know this? I've been the recipient of that. I've been on the back end of designers and builders getting fired because they didn't ask enough questions and didn't really care. And the client felt that. And the client felt that their level of investment emotionally, psychologically, and financially was not being respected. You got to care. And you got to care more, especially as the stakes get higher.
You can tell
less.
When somebody walks into the room to do business with you and they're grateful for the opportunity.
Listen, the level of institutional arrogance is sometimes completely maddening. The level of institutional arrogance sometimes on architects, on designers, on builders is sometimes it's maddening. And I think people are kind of getting fed up with it because it used to be that, you know, there was a smaller network and now you can find designers who will travel. You can find even builders these days who will travel, especially in the form of really good project management.
Sure.
You can find the resources. So you better find the right mindset that's going to suit and match the level of your investment if you're a customer. And if you're a builder, you better find better collaborators or good collaborators who sort of want to all work in that sphere. And that kind of gets to the next segment, but I see you have a question, you in the front.
I have a question.
Yes.
So I know how much you do not like some of these television shows that show that you can get mm-hmm. done with an entire remodel within, you know, 24 minutes. I am asking you, do you think, though, that those shows have maybe shown customers, shown clients that, yeah, there are a lot of things that can be done and maybe have produced a few slightly smarter clients that don't settle, that say, hey, I've seen, maybe it is on television, but maybe who aren't as gaslighted by some of the arrogance that you talk about when that walks in they do stand up for themselves a little bit more because they say, hey, I've seen this done.
I'll answer your question this way. It's been a longstanding truth that A's want to surround themselves with A's.
Sure.
You know, there's this quote from Nick Saban that high performance people can't stand mediocre people mm-hmm. and mediocre people can't stand high performance people.
True.
Right? Partly because of the one thing that you have, which is called standards. The difference is when that standard, that fight for the right idea, that fight for the right concept, that fight for the right material, sometimes that arrogance that seeps into that, it can't be that way. Okay?
Right.
So being an A does mean being confident, but it doesn't mean being arrogant.
Correct.
There's a difference.
Big difference.
What I find is that when you, specifically to your comment about the TV shows and the media, it's all an erosion. It's all an erosion because it makes you believe that it's easy. When in reality, you have to have tough conversations.
Right.
And though none of those shows show the tough conversations. They show the drama as it relates to some miss, or the drama as it relates to some issue, because that's TV and you can cram that into 30 minutes.
Of course.
And you can cram that into multiple episodes. But not the real why behind the design. Where I feel like the media has missed is the real why. A lot of the things that I see on social media are tip-related, advice-related. That's even the wrong perspective.
Right.
Let's talk about why you want to create something beautiful, the reasons you're doing it, and then reverse engineer everything from the lifestyle outcome. And that's not what the builders do. No. That's not what the architects really do either, but it is what we do at the Design Coach. And I'm encouraging this entire industry to reflect on that and say, are you actually asking the questions that matter beyond the materials, beyond the square footage, beyond the price? Because remember, you can have the same outcome, but have different levels of materials. It's not that you can have a better outcome because the project costs more. That's not what it's about.
Right.
It's about actually designing it with the right intent. And as we get into this next segment where we talk about, you know, when builders show up with humility and respect for the process, they don't just build walls, they build relationships. I'm interested in using builders that want to build relationships with both me and the client and the vision, not just want a project. When we say we design for people and not projects, that's exactly what we mean.
Right.
And our best builders do that. They focus on the person. And the project plays itself out if you take care of the person. Usually when clients get difficult in this situation, it's because they feel like they're not being listened to or you weren't clear enough. My next conversation is about clarity and communication. So let's talk best practices in clarity and communication. Great builders, the ones with whom I've been honored enough to work, both locally and nationally, set a tone. They set a tone from the beginning. They insist on weekly meetings and regular touch points. They hold the design team accountable, and then the design team holds the builder accountable for alignment of the vision. But it's not accountability in a gotcha. It's accountability because we all believe in the best interests of delivering this vision for the client. It's not done in a gotcha.
Right.
All too often, I see builders who are not collaborative in that space and not great communicators going behind the designer's back to talk them out of a materials choice because of cost, or talk them out of a materials choice because their contractor or they themselves simply do not have the expertise to pull it off and are afraid to say that.
Makes sense.
Rather than say, let's find someone who can execute it.
Right.
But no, builders like predictability.
Path of least resistance.
Builders like predictability. So beware of the builder who wants to funnel you only through the resources that are available to them, because that limits your ability to leverage the marketplace and expand into resources that maybe he or she has not installed before, or their contractors have not installed before. The best builders have the best contractors who say this to me. Okay, we've done something similar, or I've only done this once. I know it can be done. Let me research it. Let me surround myself with more pros. Again, A's hire A's. Okay, you know what B's do? B's hire C's because they want to put their thumb on them.
Oh, for sure.
If I've left you with nothing else on this radio show, remember the A's want to be around other A's, and B's want to hire C's so they can just feel better about themselves.
Right.
And pretend that they're an A. Now, there's a whole nother show there. But that's the God's honest truth. And I don't care what profession you're in, like you said.
Oh, that's 100% across the board.
If you're a high agency, high performance player, all you want to do is run with more people like that.
Right. I don't want to drag anybody with me.
No. You don't have time.
Nope. No time for it.
The stakes are higher.
Yep.
There's more on the line. Talent wants to work with other talent.
Right.
Okay. So in this communication piece, what I love about great builders in the communication piece is they like the regular touch points. They embrace the regular touch points. They're prepared when we have those touch points. And this is on a national level. National builders are meeting with us every week, and they're telling us what they're up to, what's happening next. And they understand that we're unified, so that if the client right now were to call the builder, call the designer, or call the architect, everyone is on the same page with what's happening.
Right.
No one's out of the loop. On the architectural side, it's embarrassing how many architects don't make field site visits, yet still have the nerve to want to take 15 to 18% of the final build with no field support because you came up with the limited vision that the designer had to pack it anyway. Like, the amount of flawed architectural plans that pass for $6 to $8 million builds would shock most people. They would shock most people.
So they, like, draw it and then walk away?
In essence.
Oh.
They draw it to a point. They draw it to a point and they sort of say, well, this is kind of where I end. And then they're on transactionally to the next project. Not the best ones, Nancy. Again, not the best ones. And I'm not talking about all. The best ones don't do that. The best ones stay vested.
Right.
From dirt to drapery.
Like, why wouldn't you want to see?
But how many builders, you can't even find them come punch list time. And the fact that when you have a structural engineering question, the architectural firm is annoyed that you had to call them back to say that what they drew won't work. Like, if I had a dime for every time that happened with a bad builder or an architect that's not fully vested, it would shock you. I'm here to share with you, the best partners stay vested in the relationship, not the project. That is not industry specific, Nancy. You're right. It is across the board. That if you invest in the relationships with your clients and the partners with whom you are building this big thing, how do you do that? How do you stay vested? Regular communication with clarity. So humility in the collaboration was the first thing that I started with. Let me help you figure it out. Let me ask enough questions to actually show you that I care about the design intent and the direction. And on the communication and clarity side, if I don't know the answer, I'm going to help you figure it out. And then on the designer's part, the designer has to be moldable enough to know when what they've recommended just won't work. But most of the time, I find that it's not that designers build something so crazy, okay, that it's not possible.
Mm-hmm.
I find that there's no compromise within it. In other words, yes, the designer's vision might be aggressive for the builder who's never done it before. So that's why they do the same houses and the same look over and over.
Of course.
Again, because I know it's predictable. They can, and then all it is a plug-in for the client. Oh, well, I like that style, so I'm just going to go with that builder, that architect. Great. I have news for you. That's not original.
Right. Cookie
that's
cutter.
What leads to trends.
Right.
That's what leads to this trend treadmill.
Well, they're also furnishing it from Walmart and,
well, no, I mean, they're furnishing IKEA. It maybe with expensive stuff, but the other part we'll talk about at the back end is the finishing side of it, which is never good. But when most homeowners approach these projects with the builder never takes into account the finishing stage with the furniture. See, it does you no good to talk about price per square foot of your build without telling you how much it's going to cost you to furnish it.
Right.
Because in the end, you're trying to meld the heart and the head. And what makes a home isn't your flooring. What makes a home isn't your stone. What makes a home isn't your roof. What makes a home is the stuff you fill it with. And I have seen so many homeowners move into their multi-million-dollar build with a sofa and no rugs and no art and no finishing. And then they tell themselves they're going to get to it. And they never do because they were the victim, the creative victim of a bad builder or a bad architect. Or if not bad, just their investment did not match the level of intent. And I will tell you, the best builders will come to me and say, please tell me where the furniture is going to go early so I can make sure that the HVAC is in the right spot. I can make sure the electrical and the mechanicals are in the right spot. Please tell me about the storage plan for this, and tell me that that's baked in. I want to get an understanding from a functional level. And those are lifestyle discussions. But we tend to get so siloed within the architectural phase, right, and the build phase, and almost practically ignoring the design phase until they call you last minute when they're overwhelmed with selections and the builder's super frustrated because they can't get answers. Well, what were you people doing? You started without me. You didn't even consider that design intent was driving 60% to 70% of the cost of this build, and you left the most important person with the best understanding of that out of the equation before you sign the contract.
Right.
What are you doing? clarity and communication. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about the stewardship that it takes and the ongoing way that the best builders work with an entire team and the client to build lasting relationships that actually earn you the next job. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. All right. Well, welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. And we're on this journey where I'm only scratching the surface of this topic, but I think it's a really important subject to begin to broach as we move through, I don't know, where we're going at The Design Coach and where I think the industry really needs some counsel. I want to say this, piggybacking on the last segment. This clarity in communication is a superpower, and I don't think people understand how powerful it can be on the part of the trust that it creates amongst the team and on the part of the client. When a builder embraces it, it saves everybody time, energy, effort, and money. The lack of communication and the ambiguity that exists in some of the communication from what I would say less than builders is a project killer. And it's a client killer. I can't stress enough the amount of communication that we're doing now. And the minute we flip the switch on it, especially as we grew nationally, the minute we flip the switch on, we need more communication and just demanded it. We were able actually to take some of these players that were not executing that at a very high level, and we were able to elevate them. And they have now become the types of partners with whom we've always wanted to work.
They had it in them.
But they did. And I want to preface this before we start segment four. I believe that a lot of builders have it in them. Either the marketplace has beaten it out of them, or they're just doing it from a transactional perspective and they don't really care as much as you think they do.
Or they should.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Success is a horrible teacher, right? You know? There's a lot to be learned from failure. And I feel like if you're recognizing and you're trying to figure out where you can improve and where you can keep delivering and growing better service, I'm going to tell you that you actually can start to look inward. It's not about your clients and whether or not clients are bad these days or good these days. People are people. You just have to find a way to connect with them. And those channels change and they move. But the one thing that I've always said in the part of my team is I can't teach give a you know what.
Right.
I can't teach I really care.
Nope.
You can't teach that.
You either have it or you don't. 100%.
And you know what people do when they really care? They communicate.
Right.
You know what they really do when they really want to come to an understanding? They're honest. They're transparent.
They listen.
And not only listen, but they come up with their problem solving doesn't always need to be creative. It can just be the creativity can be the problem solving. And that comes from this clarity and communication. I will tell you, I can't tell you how many, I would say, mediocre builders aren't honest about timeline because they're afraid. Like that, why would you ever want to be on defense like that? You know what? If you're going to deliver bad news, deliver it early, deliver it honestly.
Right.
And then have a reason why.
Because you can overcome it.
Yeah, you can. But if the client feels like you're not giving them the real deal, that's when the trust erodes. Trust me, when I was growing my business and I was stretched, that was a challenge for us. But we were also only as good as the timelines that we were being given to us by our contractors. So it plays itself out down the line. It's not just the communication you're getting from your builder or the clarity you're getting from the builder. It's the clarity his subcontractors are giving him or her.
Sometimes you're just the messenger.
When you and I talk about alignment all the way down the line, if builders are not coaching their contractors on clarity and better communication, then they're a victim of their own flawed process. That's what we're trying to avoid with today's discussion. I need everyone to start having real conversations about what it takes to do these big jobs.
Right.
Especially in today's dynamic with shipping and tariffs and timelines and lack of labor, which is a massive problem in our industry right now. Okay? We can design a million things really, really quickly if we needed to. The problem is, how are you going to get them done?
Right.
Okay? And with such a labor deficit right now, I think it's really important for us from an educational perspective to tell the industry and to share with the industry, this is what good looks like. And this is what not so good really does.
Boy, that's a very key. That's a very key.
Like, this is what good looks like.
Right. Right.
Right.
Because there's, I feel like there's a lot of people that settle because that's what they, but they think.
But
that
I also think we don't even,
like.
I think we've become so numb we don't even know what it looks like anymore.
Exactly.
It's almost like not accepting professional love anymore. And sometimes professional love is tough love.
Yeah.
It's the honest conversation about the timeline, the material, how much something costs.
For sure.
You know what? There isn't cost, everyone. There's just value. And if you can't express the value of a creative decision, that's on you. It doesn't mean the client's going to say yes, but it means shame on you for not making your case.
Right.
And making your case can't be, it's pretty. It can't be, it's available. And your case can't be, it's cheap.
It works.
Yeah, like, come on. Like, no. Every design is a trade-off
right.
between all sorts of value conversations. And it doesn't mean that you need to spend the most amount of money in every room. It needs to, means that you need to spend the right amount of money in the right places in the right rooms. That's how you get at this amalgam of cost, which is why cost per square foot is such a dangerous game to play. It doesn't take into account any of that.
Mm-hmm.
But the first thing people want to know is, when's it going to be done and how much is it going to cost? Do me a favor, consumers, stop being the kid in the back of the station wagon.
Right. Do I need to come back there? Don't make me come back.
Stop
back
asking
there.
The question,
right.
price
asking.
Per square foot, how fast and how much. Do me a favor. Step back a little bit and say, here's my pinch point on budget. Here's about when I think I want to execute this vision. And then find the right team that can help you massage that a little bit. I now will run from clients who are giving me the artificial deadline.
Mm-hmm. But see,
I can't do it, especially in the beginning of the project. It's like, how do you know? I don't know what you're going to pick. I don't know how long your materials are going to take. I don't know how collaborative you are. There's a million questions I don't know. So you saying to me anything other than I'd like to hit this window, that's more realistic.
Okay, but
and I'd rather walk away from a project and a partner and a builder who can't have that tough conversation early.
But do you also have to have the open mind and understand that they are asking that because of a previous bad experience with people who don't have the mindset that you do?
Nancy, do you know how many projects, and I mean major multi-million dollar projects, have come my way from bad builders and bad designers?
Oh,
and
tons.
Flawed architects?
Right.
A lot.
Right.
A lot. And the reason I'm sharing this is because I'm finally at a point where I'm like, I'm just done. I'm done not talking about it. Like, we have to talk about the elephant in the room, which is the fact that the process to do these big visions on so many levels is flawed.
But.
And it's local and national.
Doesn't the client who comes to you.
Clients deserve more. They
right.
deserve better. They deserve a level of investment that matches their level of investment emotionally and psychologically and financially.
Right.
And they're not always getting that.
Exactly. So when they come to you with that hard deadline, I got to do, you know, we got to have this. It's because they're trying to exert some sort of control that they then learn that they can trust you to come through with. Maybe not that deadline, but they have to transfer the trust. You have to earn their trust, and that's what you do.
But you don't have to worry about that deadline. But if you go back to the principles of what we're going to talk about now, which is stewardship, you know what stewardship is? Taking the vigilance and diligence to actually shepherd the project,
right.
align the vision in smaller doses more frequently. And the previous topic that I talked about, that communication and clarity, builders wait too long to deliver bad news.
Right.
In some sort of aspirational hope that magically something will get painted in a week that actually really takes 2 weeks to paint. Or tile that might take longer. And what they do is they put their contractors under duress, and you get shortcuts. You get not as great of an outcome, and you definitely miss creative opportunities. I'm going to tell you right now, I think the biggest failure is how many huge multi-million dollar projects I see that leave everything. They have so many missed opportunities.
Isn't that sad? I mean, it's just sad.
It's sad because the client might not have even known that they didn't even
right.
get them because they didn't give themselves time to workshop it with a great creative team. They didn't really have personal discussions about exactly what works for them and what doesn't. And sometimes the wackiest things will come your way from those discussions from clients, and you find a way to bake them into the design in a stylistic way. And then the client has this great appreciation for the fact that you not only heard them, but that you took that weird idea And you found a way to make it and fit it into the design.
Right.
Not, I've never done that. I don't know how to do that. Or worse, what I hear is, and here's where the good builders do it well. The good builders who are shepherding and stewarding it have the financial clarity in their billing. Itemization in their billing.
Mm-hmm.
Itemization of saying, I can't do that by bid. I have to do that time and material. I don't know how long it's going to take because the design is a little bit more complex. I can try to give you some sort of guidance on the allowance, but it's going to take us time. So you have to pick what you're interested in. Like, what is your outcome? Is your outcome square footage and speed? Great. That's going to come at a price for millwork because millwork takes time to not only install, but to paint. So when I hear truncated timeline, that means you're going to fit into a design style that has less. Ah, there you have modern farmhouse and there you have modern mountain. Minimal millwork, beautifully laid canvases in isolated areas. Not a lot of millwork other than some great beams that match the flooring or match the cabinetry. Okay?
Right.
That's why people are like it's interesting because what do we always fall in love with when we travel? We fall in love with these traditional old homes that have a lot of millwork in them. We always are like, oh my gosh, how charming was that? So the minute you dive into one of those styles, and I'm not saying that you might not like that style, I'm just telling you right now, I don't think it has legs. I mean, I'm going to call it right now. I don't think it has legs because we're already seeing modern farmhouse have to morph, and we're going to see modern mountain have to morph.
Right.
It's going to have to morph. And where it morphs is it morphs with more care, more detail. Millwork matters. Painting matters. And at the end, you know what builders do with bad stewardship? They rush the finishing process because they promised a delivery date. Instead of just advising the client more regularly throughout the entire project to set the expectation of completion. That's what they do. The good builders, the great builders, they don't do that. They're constantly communicating timeline and budget. They're constantly benchmarking it and say, okay, this is going to take this, this is going to take, but they get out ahead of it. Well, they're not afraid to have those conversations. And you know what? Isn't that what you want from a good person? Not just a good partner in business?
Right.
You want honesty,
right.
Clarity. So at least you can make the decision.
Manage my expectations.
Oh my gosh, manage my expectations.
This is not tough.
That's good stewardship.
Right.
And don't manage the expectation and then try to cut and short sheet the client's vision at the end. I can't tell you how frustrating that is and how many clients come to us at the end of a project somewhat broken because they're like, well, I had to buy what was in stock. I had to purchase. I wasn't willing to wait for things that were on back order, even though I knew it was the right fixture. And you sort of talked yourself into doing it that you thought you would do it later. I can't imagine when you're spending the amount of money that some of these clients are, how sad that reality is for them.
But that's what I was saying is that when somebody
comes to
you.
And we're doing them
you,
a disservice. The right, architect's doing them a disservice. Right. The designers are doing them a disservice. And the builders are doing a disservice.
Right.
Everybody stop for a minute and let's think about why we're doing it. Let's think about the client. Let's make it client focused, client palatable. And that calculus is different for every client to a certain extent. Okay. Listen, some clients do give you massive amounts of freedom. You just can't take that for granted. I've seen that be a problem too.
Ooh, I bet.
And it's the best thing in the world to not. It's the best thing to beat them to the update before they ask for it. Isn't that what everybody wants is the anticipation? Put in your end of week recap. I mean, what's interesting is we do this on the lifestyle side every week. Every week. It's complete visibility on what we saw, what we didn't see. Mm-hmm. We're trying to anticipate the needs that are coming up. When we're getting ahead of materials that we think are more expensive or materials that we think are right for the project that we think are waiting for, we get out ahead of that. Hey, we understand this is going to take a little longer. We really think it's right for the design. We're going to wait. And listen, we're in the space of legacy, luxury, and heirloom. Those things are worth fighting for. But the only way you fight for them is not have the big fights at the end or at really inopportune times. You have these small little notifications throughout the entire process where you give people the visibility to be able to make a pivot if they want to. And you know what I find? When you give the client the honest visibility of it, they usually stay the course and they're usually okay spending the money, okay? But you've got to put the value into the relationship and not the project.
Communication establishes trust.
Listen, stewardship is a lot of things. It can mm-hmm. mean a lot. And we've only scratched the surface of this. But I'm going to tell you, if you're a builder or you're a remodeler, I'm going to tell you right now, if you want to be better, the humility, the clarity, the communication, and the accountability is where the outcomes bloom. Anyway, have a great Sunday, everybody. You've been listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Have a good day. You've been coached.